The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Mark.
Thank you. My name is Mark. I am an alcoholic. I shouldn't be up here. It is by the grace of God that I am sober since February 2nd of 2014. I have a sponsor. His name is Adam D. Working on 9, practicing 10, 11, and 12. I got so much love for each and every one of you in here. It's unbelievable, but it's amazing. Every single one of you has played an important role in my recovery, and I thank you. I had my first drink at the age of 18 in college, and I loved it. You know, I immediately got drunk, and from that point forward, it was on a Friday, and Fridays were never the same for me. I always obsessed. You know, I drank that Friday, and by Monday, I'm already thinking about drinking the next Friday, and that's how my drinking career was, the obsession. And started off as a weekend thing, and then gradually increased to every day. I didn't think it was a problem. Everybody else around me was doing it, so I thought I was just having fun, you know, part of the fellas or whatever, you know. Within my first 3-6 months, I started experiencing blackouts, but again, I just thought that was part of it. And my solution to that was, oh, my tolerance level is low. Maybe I should just keep drinking more. That way I could just enjoy it more. Within 3 years of college, I got expelled because of an incident, and it involved drinking. But, of course, I still didn't think it was a problem. Came back home. I became a father immediately, started working. And, again, the same pattern. After work, on Fridays, get paid, drink, you know. And that's pretty much how I was. I came into the program in 2001 through a coworker, a friend of mine, who I had discovered that she didn't drink. And I was like, wow, how can you not drink and live life, you know? And at the time, I didn't think, again, that it was a problem. And I would have lunch with her every day, and she would ask me what I did the night before. And every time I asked her this question, it was the same thing. I drank last night, drank 40s, you know. And one day she just asked, hey, you never thought you might have a problem with alcohol? And I thought about it, and I started instantly thinking about the consequences in college, which I had, and that my family was starting to worry about my drinking. And yeah, I kind of deep down inside felt that I drank differently than others. So I said, yeah, at times, you know. So she told me her story without preaching at me. She didn't say, oh, you need to stop, you're out of control. She just shared her experience. And it was the first time that I talked with somebody, and through her story, I could put myself and place myself there. Like, I identified. She knew what she was talking about, and I shared some stories. And again, she didn't say, you need to go to AA. She just told her experience, and I asked her what happened, and she told me. And a week later, I asked her to take me to my first meeting. I went to the meeting. I didn't know anything about sponsorship. I didn't get a sponsor. Needless to say, I stayed sober for 3 months, 90 days, and I went back and started drinking again because I felt, hey, I didn't drink for 3 months. I got this under control. A year later in 2 years later in 2003, I ended up in in Bellevue after a night of drinking, celebrating the birth of my third daughter. And that morning, my grandmother was upset that I was out drinking and stuff. And my solution to her nagging was I slipped my wrist and ended up in Bellevue. And I went to my first rehab, came out, went to a meeting, met my first sponsor who, you know, introduced me to the book, told me to meet him here on a Tuesday. I came here, and I didn't feel scared or intimidated. I actually loved the fact that there was a lot of people because I could hide in here. And that's exactly what I did. I would come late and leave right out the door. You know, I loved, you know. Needless to say, I didn't work the steps. He got me into the fourth step, but I used an excuse that I kept hearing how people said that it's, you know, it's the hardest thing to do. So I ran with that. I'm the type of person, it doesn't take much to use something as an excuse just so I wouldn't do anything. And I drank again. And pretty much from 2003 till February 2nd of 2012, that's pretty much what happened. You know, come to meetings, show up, you know, fellowship, hang out, think I'm okay, and ease my way right back out, you know. And the consequences were started getting more and more, and thank you. I couldn't see my kids. My grandmother was afraid of me. And despite all that, my mind still took me to a drink. I thought I could do this. 2 weeks before February 2nd, 2014, I was drunk and I was in the back of my building and I paused and I prayed to God. And it was the first time that I asked for help. And after I said what I needed to say, I didn't have that noise in my head saying, "You're lying, you're full of it," you know? And that's when I feel that my conception of God changed. And even though I kept drinking for the next 2 weeks, I knew that something was going to change. I woke up February 2nd of 2014, and I said, for the first time in my life, I said, "God, I surrender to you. I surrender my life," because I was still managing my life. I wasn't, you know, when I would come in, I would get sober and still want to control things. And when things wouldn't go my way, I'd say, "Oh, it's not working. What's the point of being sober? I'm not getting my way," and I would drink. Asked Adam to be my sponsor, started reading the book, got up to step four, and I was like, let's do this. Let's just see what's on the other side. And I said, if it doesn't work, I'll just go to the bodega and get some 40s, you know. Obviously, it worked because I haven't needed to have a drink, you know. I finally did my fifth step, and the weight off my shoulders was tremendous, you know, the guilt and shame that I felt when I would wake up from drinking, and even when I wasn't drinking, just things stuff that I held on to from, you know, even before I started drinking was lifted. And Adam had this smile on his face when I was leaving, and it was the first time that somebody didn't have that look of disappointment, so I knew I was on the right track. I sat for the hour, and I thanked God, and it says in one of the promises that came true for me instantly of the fifth step was that sense that the problem had been solved. And that was, for somebody like me that woke up always thinking and obsessing about a drink, for me to think that the problem had been solved was huge. So I was like, all right, what's next? The week later after my fifth step, I made amends to my family. You know, I went to Arizona for my sister's graduation. And the first person I made amends to was my grandmother. And one of my fears was I was afraid that she would pass and I wouldn't get the chance to make amends for my behaviors. And she looked at me and she said, "You know, I've seen you try this many, many times, but this is the first time that I see you're at a different footing." And for her to say that was tremendous. I continue to make amends with my family. I made amends to the mother of my two daughters, my two middle daughters, and today I have a wonderful relationship with her and my daughters. I have an oldest 18-year-old that I haven't been able to speak to for 10 years, but a couple of weeks ago, indirectly, I spoke to her through her aunt, so, you know, I feel that there's hope there. I could improve my relationship with my son. You know, I'm not perfect, but the fact that I'm able to, at the end of August, I'm going to Arizona, the fact that I'm taking my daughter with me, that her mother is allowing that to happen, is just, it went from someone that when I would call would block or not take my phone calls to that. It's just, you know, and even if she didn't let me take her, just the fact that she's talking to me and even letting, I mean, who am I to place a demand on that, you know? Thank you. I just want to wrap it up by saying if you're new counting days or if you're counting days again, welcome. I know how you feel. I used to sit in this meeting and other meetings drunk out of my mind thinking that this wasn't going to work for me, you know, and or even not drunk and thinking, obsessing about what am I going to do after the drink, after the meeting. And I'm here to tell you that this works if you work it. You know, these steps work, you know. I wanted it, you know, I wanted to stop drinking and get sober. I would tell you guys that, and I meant it. That wasn't enough. I'm sure a lot of you looked at me and said, this guy needs it, you know? That wasn't enough either. I finally just had to do it, you know? It works if you work it. And I'm an example of that. Thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Virginia.
Hi, my name is Virginia, and I'm an alcoholic. It's an honor and a privilege to speak here at AG. It's the group where I got sober. I'm very nervous. I'm not used to speak in public, and I don't speak English very well. I'm Brazilian, and I speak Portuguese. But as an AA, I speak the language of the heart, and so here I am. My sobriety date is April 7, 2011. I have a sponsor, Anita. I have sponsees. I'm working the steps for the second time. I'm on step 6 and 7. And I have a home group. It's Grupo Rio de Janeiro in Rio de Janeiro. So if you come to Rio, please visit us. We have a meeting in English. So my story, I was born and raised in Rio. I have a pretty normal family, no big drama. I don't have alcoholism in my family, neither my parents or my siblings. I'm the only alcoholic in my family. So I started drinking when I was 14. It's my first drink. And I didn't like the taste, but I like the effect. So I started my drinking story by them. And I managed very well my drinking. It progressed very slowly. I managed my life like expect a script, like school, college, getting married, starting a business, having a kid. All and outside was okay. I was managed okay, but my inside was a mess. I feel so lonely. I feel so sad. I mean, it's a wholeness and an emptiness, and I couldn't understand why. What's the problem? I mean, I have everything. Everything is all right. What's the problem with me? And I was in therapy at that time and trying to find what's wrong. And then my therapist said, why don't you try AA meeting? And I say, me? Come on, I'm not a drunk. Look at my life. I have a business and blah, 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 blah. And I say, but I had this thing, I thought, and I gave a try, and I went to a meeting in Rio. It was 2003. I totally relate, but I didn't do the work. I still was in denial. So I think maybe I had a little more to suffer. But I got sober for a while, but then I drank again. I didn't get a sponsor. I didn't do the steps. The 99. I didn't do anything. I just show up at little meetings. So in 2006, my husband got a job here in New York, and we moved. And my disease had this I arrive moment, because I say, okay, well, let's drink. And I said, it's a perfect place. I don't have a work. I don't have a family around. I don't have friends. I mean, liquor stores a lot, so it's a perfect place to drink. And so I started drinking. So here in New York, I hit my bottom. And it was very, very sad. Very sad moments I was getting obsessed about drinking. I remember in a spinning class, thinking about I mean, which liquor store, because I do the rotate liquor store thing. So as which liquor store I will go today so that, I mean, they won't, I mean, look at her, she's a drunk or whatever. So I was, my husband was, I mean, he travels a lot. So that's helped me, I mean, hiding my drinking. But when I remember once that he was at home, and I remember locking myself in the bathroom, like with cans, beer cans, or bottles of wine, and open the shower, and just I mean pretending that I was having a shower, and I was not. And my daughter is like knocking the door, mom, please open. And I say, please, just one moment. I'm having a shower. And I was sitting there alone drinking. And it was so sad. She was really scared about me. She was frightened by my behavior. My husband was upset about my behavior. He thought that I didn't love him enough because I was drinking this much. So I decided to come back to AA's rooms. And I was around AA, you know, I'm not in AA. So I was coming back late, I mean, coming to meetings late, leaving earlier, no connection. I don't speak English. I'm sorry. I'm leaving. So, I leave. And this took a while, and it was not working, and I'm sad and more sad. So I said, I won't get sober without help. So I decided to get a sponsor. So I went to a meeting, close to my place where I live, and it was an anniversary, it's a morning meeting, so it's an anniversary day. And I saw a woman, she was qualifying, and her story, I identified to her story. And I asked her, could you please sponsor me? And she said, yes, sure. But then it was summer vacation, so I went to Brazil, and she said, come. Call me when you come back. And when I came back, I call her, and then she said, meet me at the Atlantic group. And I say, okay, I will. And I come here, she held my hands, and she said, I mean, I was really sad. And she said, you don't need to feel like this again. And I trust her, and I started doing the steps. We started the big book, and I started doing service commitment. And then I started my journey in AA, and this was 4 years and something ago. And in 2012, I moved back to Brazil. So I went back to this home group that I was once. And then oh my God, you don't know. You don't know nothing about AA. You know, I was 9 months sober. They have 37 years. They just celebrate saving lives. And I was, I mean, so arrogant that I say, no, I was in New York. I know the thing. AA thing is so. I had to work a lot with my sponsor about that because I was Miss AA, and so I started working with them, and I work with my sponsor. All these resentments towards the group and the way they are working, and then I found this: there's no right way. It's God's way, and the way they are saving lives doesn't matter. We are getting sober, and we are saving lives, and then having God in our lives, and this is all about. So, I jump in this group, and I'm really active. I mean, I active member of this group. My current commitment in this group is I pass the message to outside the rooms. I go to rehabs, and I go to these facilities to pass the message of AA. And it's been a pleasure. My life is not perfect. I have problems. I have problems. But I'm with being sober, I can deal with this all life, you know, in life terms, and with dignity. And it's so I'm so grateful to be sober. I'm so grateful to AA. So thank you for sharing that.